WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Welcome back in hour number two of the program here on Fun Friday. And, of course, Fun Friday brought to you by Dee's Hot Dogs in New Bedford on Tarkelm Hill Road, where you can stop in and get two hot dogs, chips, and a soda for just $5. So you can't go wrong with a deal like that. And, of course, they've got all kinds of great toppings that you can choose from. I go with the Coney and cheese, but they've got all kinds of stuff, including the new mac and cheese dogs, the baked beans and bacon dog. All kinds of stuff to try. So you never have to get the same dog twice at Dee's Hot Dogs. But, you know, if you do have a favorite, they'll always have it there for you. So today's Fun Friday question, and by the way, we can talk about some other things. The immigrant who was taken by ICE after they broke his car window has been released on bond, $1,500 bond. His lawyer had asked for a $0 bond, but the judge, the federal immigration judge, said, I can't. The lowest I can put it at by statute is $1,500. So that's what they set it up as. And the family had done a GoFundMe, and there had been some donations made, and some organizations had put together some money. So they were able to come up with that $1,500. And now he is home, and he's awaiting his next court date, because now they've got him on this illegal entry charge, which is a misdemeanor. And the lawyer is working to try to get that taken away as well. Trying to get that dropped. So we'll keep updating you on it, I'm sure. Brian will probably have an update later on tonight on Brian's beat. I'm sure Paul will talk about it tomorrow morning. He'll probably have an update. I know they're both in constant contact with the lawyer. So we'll have more for you on that. And then also, just to follow up, today is that Palestinian flag raising outside Providence City Hall, and some of the city councilors are very upset. It apparently was the city council president who was the one kind of pushing for this. And some of the councilors are upset that their names have been attached to this. So you can read more about that. WPRI and ABC6 both have more on that, but we can talk about that as well. But again, our Fun Friday question today is, what is the make, model, and year of your first car? And I went through the list during the news and wrote out all the vehicles I've owned. I think I've got them all. I might have missed one. And if I did, I'll try to add it in, but I'll go through that in a little bit. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
So that guy's on a bond. They didn't just let him free. He's on a bond?
Yeah, because he has to go back for the other court date.
So, because he's here illegally, right?
So the charge is illegal entry into the United States, but the lawyer's argument is he's here under his wife's asylum claim that's still being processed.
Right. So it was kind of justified that they ripped him out of there.
No, it's not.
Yeah, it was. So anyways, yeah.
Well, if it was justified, yeah, they would have actually filed the right charges when they brought him in.
What would be the right ones? They seems like they got him on being a legal immigrant, right?
On a misdemeanor, which would not have been a detentionable crime. They wouldn't have taken him to New Hampshire for just that illegal entry charge. They would have given him, you know, a court date to appear at.
Can't get arrested for a misdemeanor?
You don't get arrested for a misdemeanor. You get charged for a misdemeanor, but you're not going to get held for a month in jail for a misdemeanor.
Maybe a cop can call in, but I'm not a cop. But I think that it's up to the police discretion if you get arrested or not for a misdemeanor.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is they're not going to hold you in a New Hampshire prison for a month for a misdemeanor.
I'm just asking, loitering or something like that. Because, you know, a lot of people, like homeless people, get arrested for loitering or drinking in public. Are those felonies or misdemeanors?
Well, I don't know the actual statute. I would guess misdemeanors, and they're probably released the next day.
but they get put in jail for it. So anyways, you can get arrested for a misdemeanor. So that was good that he got arrested for that, and I hope that he gets sent back.
Okay. Well, I hope the next time you cross the street without using the crosswalk, they arrest you and throw you in jail for a month, too.
Oh, no, definitely. I agree. I will pay the fine or pay whatever penalties when I break the law, and I want the illegals to pay the penalties as well.
All right. Hold on, I actually hung up on another caller. But before I let you go, what was the make, model, and year of your first car?
It was a 88 Sundance. It had only lasted about less than 30 days until it broke. And then I got an 89 Trooper 2.
Ooh. To replace it. The Isuzu Trooper?
Yeah, the Trooper. That was like one of my favorite cars. I wish I even had that. I thought it was really cool. And even now, that was a cool. It was a standard. It was a standard four-cylinder little truck thing.
You know? Yeah, they were kind of Jeepish, weren't they? Like,
right.
Yeah.
Four-wheel drive, and I beat the heck out of that thing. You know what I mean? So it was a lot of fun.
Well, I wish you. I hope you find another one someday, and you can relive your childhood.
Amen. All right. Thanks, man. Have a good day.
To that caller that I hung up on accidentally, please call back in. I was trying to put you on hold, and. I must have hung up the wrong button. I must have pressed the wrong button. So that is the Fun Friday question today. What is the make, model, and year of your first car? Those Isuzus were a car that I kind of totally forgot about. But they had those great commercials with David Leisure, the guy that was on Empty Nest. He played Joe Isuzu, the sleazy car dealer guy. Those were fun commercials that you don't really get. Fun commercials for cars anymore. You just get, you know, pictures of cars driving with voiceovers. And you don't really get good, you don't get good car theme songs anymore. You know, like Ford had a couple of songs that were like country songs or the Mellencamp song or whatever. But you don't really get the fun theme songs anymore. Like Pontiacs. You mentioned having a Sunfire. Pontiac had that great 80s. We build excitement, Pontiac. I used to sing that all the time in my Trans Am. All right, 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning. My first car was a 1968 Super Sports Camaro. The turquoise color with the black stripes and black interior. And I kept that until, I think, for a whole 10 years or so. And then our son was born, and it just didn't work to put a car seat in the back and so forth. So I had to sell it. But the funny story is my husband didn't pay that much for it, and he asked for more when, a lot more, but maybe $500 more because I kept it so immaculate. And there was an Italian man. And I remember it by his accent, a big, heavy set Italian man, very bubbly and nice and sweet. And he pulled up and he didn't come in the yard, and he parked on the street and he walked up the driveway because we had a U-shaped driveway. And he started yelling the top of his lungs, "I'm in love. I'm in love. I'm going home with this car." And he bought it there on the spot, took it home. He said his son was going to beg him for it, but he would never give it to him. And the awful part about it is my in-laws had passed away, and they rented the house while it was going through probate and everything. And one day I drive by the house, and there is my Camaro sitting in what was my in-laws' home, and it was completely totaled. And apparently his kid must have bugged him so much he let him use it and got in an accident. The kid didn't get hurt and nobody else was involved, so I don't know what he did. But that's a story I'll never forget.
That's
and
a great story. Downtown,
when I go downtown to the car show and that, I always look for one that looks, you know, very similar, or maybe there is one there that particular time, and I enjoy seeing it.
I got to say, though, that's a great story, but also that's the worst car buying negotiation tactic I've ever heard in my life, to just confess your love for the vehicle before you even talk price.
I know, but maybe there was something to do within his past, or maybe it's something he always wanted. I don't know. And then with my husband, going back when we first dated, because we dated as young teenagers and ended up getting married and lived and were together 60 years. The first car he had when I dated him was a 1941 Ford Coupe.
Oh, wow.
Can you imagine?
Yeah, that must have been a great car.
It was pretty. It was pretty. Yeah, and he took care of it and polished it and everything else. And then that had to go when we got married and a family and so forth. But, yeah, but I did have that nice car. I thought you'd find that a little bit interesting.
Oh, very interesting. Thank you for sharing.
You're very welcome.
Have a nice weekend.
Nice day. To the audience, too. Have a nice day.
Thank you so much. And I got to say, my dad had a Camaro when I was a kid. And she's absolutely right. They are not a good family car. So what happened was he had vans because he was a salesman. And so he would, you know, always have to pick up deliveries and bring them auto parts. And so he had these different vans, including he had one van that had no seats in it. So he put, this is the 80s, so you get away with it. He put lawn chairs in the back for us to sit in and then like made bungee cord seat belts. But when he went to this new company, they gave him a company car. They gave him a Camaro. And so here we are trying to shove five kids into a Camaro. We never could go out as a whole family in the car because there just wasn't enough room. We'd have to use my mom's car. But if we went somewhere with my dad because my mom was at work, it'd be like four kids shoved into the back seat and one, you know, usually me up in the front seat with him because I was the oldest. But yeah, it was not a good family car. And in fact, my second Trans Am I had when my son was born, and I gave in to my wife's suggestion, my ex-wife's suggestion that, you know, well, you're not going to be able to put a kid in that car, so it's kind of pointless to keep it around, and you should probably just sell it. And I was able to sell it for a little bit more than I paid for it, but I didn't need to sell it. So, and now we're divorced, and that's why. No, that's not why. I'm kidding. Just teasing. She's not listening, but I'm just teasing anyway. Got a couple of app chat messages here I want to make sure I get to. Sharon says, hi, Tim. I got my license in 1977, and my first car was a 1975 Chevy Vega. It was yellow with two doors. I had it for about 6 or 7 years, and it was a pretty good car for me. Yeah. I mean, those, I could imagine, you know, nowadays people are like, oh, I wouldn't want one of those. But, and some of those cars that people make jokes about, oh, I had a Pinto. What a piece of crap. Like, no, people would love to have those now. DSY says, I had a 1966 Ford Galaxy. My dad bought it when I was 15 in 1976. I used to drive it up and down the dead end street I lived on until I was 16 and a half. And then all the taxi years and still now I figure over 5 million miles. Wow. That's a lot of driving. My cousin, when she got her license at 16, she got a early 60s, 62, 3 Ford Galaxy. Biggest car I ever saw. And now she has another one. You know, she's in her 40s now, but she has another one. The Pork Man said, a black 78 Volkswagen Rabbit named Zippy with a fully rusted out underside. I had a lot of cars that were pretty rusted. But thankfully, nothing that really fell apart too much. There was one car, I forget which one I had, that had a hole. There was definitely a hole in the bottom in the seat, of the back seat area. And going back to the 5 million miles estimate there, my first Trans Am, when I bought it, it had 400 and something thousand miles on it. The guy had used it every day to deliver newspapers. And it had 400 and something thousand miles on it. So when I cracked it up, it had 420 something thousand miles on it. And it might still be going today if I hadn't driven it into a tree. Love that car. I only paid $200 for it. 508-996-0500. Let's take another one here before we got to take a break. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Yeah, my first car was a 1978 Plymouth Volare.
Oh, I had one of those too. I loved it.
Yeah. Mine was red.
Mine too.
Really?
Maybe we have the same one.
The same car.
I bought mine from a guy named, what was his name? It was in Wareham, Maurice.
And that's the guy I bought it from. His name was Mo too.
This was Charlie Maurice. I bought it from.
The guy's name was Mo. I bought him from in the South End.
Well, I mean, they were great cars, so you probably got some good use out of it.
Kind of ugly. I got it for like $500.
So yeah, mine was definitely all beat to hell on the outside. It was all dented and kind of, you know, old looking, but then the inside of it was pristine. So I just pretended like the inside was good. Outside was good too.
The outside just was like dull. The paint was like dull. The interior was fine.
And was it red interior?
Yep.
I'm telling you, you had my car. What year did you get it?
I got it in the early 80s, probably.
So I would have had it after you, right? I had it in the
84.
I think I got mine in 98 or 99, so I would have had mine after you.
Yeah, if it was the same one. All right, Tim.
All right, do you have a good day?
You too.
Wouldn't it be weird if it turns out that it was? But yeah, mine was great. I loved it. Didn't have a radio in it, though. So I went to Rent-A-Center and got the JVC Kaboom box because I was like, I'm not going to spend money to put a radio in this. I don't know how long I'm going to have it for. So I went and got a JVC Kaboom box, like just to try it out for a week, and I ended up keeping it. And then, sorry, I just hung up on you. Call back, my fault. And then I put the Kaboom box in the back, and I had the remote, and I would just like put the remote over my shoulder and change the channel. So that was the same caller calling back, but I accidentally hung up on you. So go ahead and call back. I've got to take a break here. We'll be back in just a few moments.
A new report on men dying from broken heart syndrome. The U.S. drug overdose deaths declining. And is somebody watching you?
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell is signaling that there is a possibility that inflation could be more volatile going forward to recent decades in which inflation and unemployment remained low. However, the Federal Reserve Chair didn't get into the specifics of what may be driving the increased frequency of the supply shocks. But he has previously stressed significant policy changes implemented by the Trump administration. Powell cautioned the public to keep inflation expectations low. Drug overdose deaths are declining in the U.S.
There were 30,000 fewer drug overdose deaths in 2024. However, annual overdose deaths are still higher than they were before the COVID-19 pandemic. I'm Mark Mayfield.
Men are twice as likely to die from what's being called broken heart syndrome compared to women. What becomes of the
broken hearted? New research out of the University of Arizona looked at what's officially called Takotsubo cardiomyopathy, a condition brought on by extreme stress or emotional distress. It can lead to shortness of breath, heart palpitations, and other cardiovascular symptoms. After looking over 4 years of data, researchers found the condition was fatal for men 11% of the time compared to around 5% for women. Researchers suggested it might be related to hormonal differences.
No major changes in the number of Americans filing first-time requests for unemployment benefits. The Labor Department says it received 229,000 initial claims in the week ending May 10th. Most analysts had expected yesterday's numbers to come in around 226,000 as compared to the previous week's 228,000. Being under surveillance changes how the brain operates, including negatively affecting memory and cognition. That could be a bigger problem in today's world where cameras seem to be everywhere and personal data is always up for sale. New research shows that being watched puts the brain into a constant fight or flight mode. The latest research was conducted out of University of Technology in Sydney. Pope Leo XIV was no stranger to social media back when he was Cardinal Robert Prevost, and now he's made his first posts on X from the official papal account. In his first message on Wednesday, Pope Leo gave a greeting of peace to all people, wherever they may be, and in every nation throughout the world. He then went on to make several more posts about the importance of the Christian, East, and others about the importance of peace in the face of war. Cases of whooping cough in California are rising, with about 600.
The cases mark a 35% increase since April of last year. Infants are especially at risk.
You cough hard enough that you whoop, and that's where the name comes from, whooping cough, because you cough until you can't breathe, and then you take a big and they call that a whoop.
Dr. Don Bucklin, a preventative medicine doctor with Work Care, says whooping cough, or pertussis, spreads through coughing in tiny droplets in the air. It can spread between people within 3 to 6 feet. It begins like a cold, but the cough intensifies. Bucklin says the best protection is vaccination, especially for infants and the elderly. I'm Dina Kodiak.
Latest installment in the Final Destination franchise is predicted to top the weekend box office. Final Destination Bloodlines expected to bring between $35 and $45 million in its debut weekend, the first entry of the horror franchise in 14 years. Meanwhile, Hurry Up Tomorrow, the weekend's companion movie to his latest album, is expected to bring in somewhere between $5 and $7 million. NFL players could be heading to the 2028 Summer Olympics. League owners will consider a resolution allowing players to participate in flag football at the games in Los Angeles. The resolution will be considered at next week's Spring League meeting in Minnesota. 24 of the NFL's 32 teams need to vote to approve the resolution for it to happen. The 2028 Summer Olympics will mark the debut of flag football as an Olympic event.
WBSM Sports.
Another must win for the Celtics. Knicks lead the series 3-2. Tip off for game 6 in New York is tonight at 8. Red Sox hosting the Braves at Fenway tonight at 7:10.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast, brought to you by C Street.
Still a little muggy as we wake up on this Friday morning. Patchy fog around too, so be careful as you're heading out the door in terms of visibility. Could be low at times. Otherwise, today stays mostly dry. Can't give you 100% here, but hey, at least we've got dry weather for the most part on this Friday. Temperatures warm too. Upper 60s right along the coast, but as you start to head inland, those numbers begin with a 7, and parts of northern Bristol County could get into the upper 70s today, feeling a lot more like summer with that sticky air as well. In the evening, we could see a couple of showers here and there. Pretty sparse, but something to keep in mind as you're heading out the door. I'm ABC 6 Chief Meteorologist Christina Schallhoop on New Bedford's News Talk Station 1420 WBSM.
I'm Mike Roberts, WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station WBSM and get breaking news alerts and all of our content with the WBSM app. This WBSM News Update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven.
Daddy's Car by the Cardigans, and some of you, your first car may have been Daddy's Car. So you heard that the news was sponsored by Stevie's Wine and Spirits, and about 6-7 minutes or so, we're going to check in with Kelly from Stevie's to find out about what's going on at the Big Spring Tasting tomorrow at Stevie's from 1 to 4. So we'll get an idea of what's going to be happening for you over there coming up in just a bit. But today's Fun Friday question is, what is the make, model, and year of your first car? And despite some of the concerns on Facebook, we're not trying to steal your password info. We just want to know what the make, model, and year of your first car was. And it's our Fun Friday question suggested by Dave in New Bedford. And I think Mike Roberts wants to chime in on this. Mike's got something he wants to tell us.
Tim, my first car, a 1986 Dodge Daytona Turbo.
Ooh.
Almost looked like a DeLorean. I never made it to 88 miles an hour, but when you get up to, 60, 65, it used to have a pretty good
noise that I still remember. And I loved that car. That was the best car. I bought it for $500.
The best.
In the late 90s. My first car. It was great. I loved it.
I almost bought a Daytona at one point when I was car shopping. And I think I took it for like an extended test drive. They let me take it for like the afternoon to see how much I liked it. And I forget what it was that we decided that not to get it. You know, my dad was at this time, you know, still kind of had the final say in what I could buy and what I couldn't buy. And he was like, yeah, no, not this one. And I forget what it was exactly. Oh, but whatever it was, I remember we went back to the dealership and said, you know, we need this, this, and this fixed before we buy it. And the guy said, no, you're just going to take it the way it is. So that's why we didn't end up buying it. But those Daytonas were pretty cool. And you're right, they did kind of look like a DeLorean. Getting some answers here on the WBSM Facebook page. Lisa says, 98 Jeep Wrangler Sport in metallic purple. Manny, 1964 and a half Mustang Ragtop. Wish I had that car now. Oh, I bet. Tanya, 1973 Plymouth Duster, slant 6, 225. The car was a tank. In 1992, I put $10 in gas and it lasted all week. Easy car to work on. Everything was easy to get to or replace. That's why I loved my Volare. Same thing. When I had the Volare, the starter went. At least I thought the starter went. And so I replaced the starter myself just based on the Chilton guide. Still couldn't get the car to start. So then I was like, it must be the battery. Went down and got a battery, put that in. Still couldn't get the car to start. Turns out it was just one of the battery cables. So a $3 part was all I needed. But by that, at least I knew my starter was good. Tim says, 69 Chevy Nova. William, 76 Pontiac Le Mans. Bob, 1980 Ford Granada. See, I love the variety of different cars that we've all had. Henry, 1974 Camaro. Derek, 2005 Honda Civic Coupe. John, 1969 Plymouth Fury. Oh, if that was 10 years older, it could have been Christine. Heidi, Pontiac Le Mans, 1969. I'm only 50, but this car, I hit everything, and man, no dents, all metal. Yeah, those cars were great. You could ram them into, they were tanks. You could ram them into anything. Sean, 1997 Ford Grand Marquis. Those Grand Marquis were great. As much as the Mercury Grand Marquis was a beautiful car, the car to have back when I was a kid was the Mercury Cougar because it had like the Thundercats logo on it. Everybody loved those. Sharon, 1976 Mercury Comet. So there's some pretty good variety there of different first cars. And we're going to keep taking your app chat messages and your answers and your calls. We've got a call here. So let me take this one. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Good morning.
How you doing?
My first car was a 1955 Hillman.
I don't know if you've even heard of a Hillman.
Yep, it was very unusual. I bought it for $200 off another kid in school. And it lasted about a year, and my next car was a 1961 Ford Falcon.
Wow. I'm looking at the Hillman now. That's a pretty nice-looking car.
It was something like a Volkswagen, a very stubby looking thing.
Mm-hmm.
The back seats, if somebody sat in the back seat, their knees were it was like the same height as the back of the front seat.
Oh, wow.
Very unusual.
Well, hey, still sounds like
fun. It was a fun car. It was a type of car that needed a lot of work all the time. You'd get in it at night, turn the lights on, have to get out of the car and bang the side that the light wasn't on, and then it would turn on. There was a needle valve problem. When I got it, there was a rock in the glove compartment. I said to him, "What's that for?" He says, "You'll find out."
What was it for?
Well, when you couldn't start it, it would like to bang. Give you a hard time, you'd get out, open the hood, bang the needle valve, and it would start right up.
Well, a little change.
Happened to me one time making the circle downtown when we used to go on Thursday nights, and the cop waved me on the corner, and the car stalled. And he looked at me. I got out of the car. I opened the hood, banged it with a rock, got back in, started it up. The cop almost fell down laughing. I mean, it was things like that that was always going wrong with the car.
Well, but it's, you get great stories to tell. Thank you for sharing.
Okay.
All right. You have a good weekend.
Bye.
And we'll take some more calls and messages about your first car, make, model, and year of your first car. And I've got the list I've been compiling of all the cars that I've owned. But the smallest car that I owned was a Pontiac Fiero. But thankfully, I only owned that for 2 days. We'll get into that. Let me take a quick break, and we'll be back with Kelly from Stevie's to tell us about what we can expect at tomorrow's spring tasting event. We'll be right back. All right, and it's time to check in with Kelly from Stevie's Wine and Spirits to find out about the big spring tasting happening tomorrow from 1 to 4. Good morning, Kelly. How are you?
I'm doing well, Tim. How's it going today?
Doing very well, although I got to tell you, I'm already thinking about tomorrow. So it's been an easy day of work so far, but I'm already thinking I need a drink.
You won't be disappointed.
So tomorrow is the big spring tasting. It's happening from 1 to 4 at Stevie's Wine and Spirits at 115 Huddleston Avenue in Fairhaven. What can we expect tomorrow?
Actually, tomorrow is it's more of like a mini spring tasting.
Okay.
So it's definitely worth checking out. But it's not, for those of you, like if some people I know do get overwhelmed with our big grand tastings because they are, it's really jam-packed with people. But this one's going to be more of a mini tasting, but there are some great products to check out. We will have some whiskeys, some gins, some rums, a couple of wines. It's going to be a lot of fun. The vendors we have lined up are really fantastic.
And it's funny because, you know, I never really would have thought until I started going to Stevie's and learning about so many things that there are kind of, you know, seasonal things. Like I know people like to drink, you know, they have their, what you guys call over there, your patio pounders for the summer. But, you know, I don't usually think of like particular liquors or spirits being for certain seasons, but I've learned now. Yeah, spring is a gin time of year.
So, yes, obviously, you and I, we like our whiskey all year long. Everybody mm-hmm. knows that. But there are even, I would even argue that there are some whiskeys that are seasonal as well. I mean, you have, you know, some that are honey. You have some that are have more of like heat to them. Some that have more of like a fruit-forward kind of base. But, yes, we have gins. I know there's a lot of people that just they will die on the hill that they hate gin. I was one of them, and I will say it's just because you have not found the right gin. Back in the day, gin basically just consisted of, like, you know, a pine balm. It was a lot of that really strong flavoring, but now there's gin, they refer to it as New World gin, and it's a lot more botanical based. We have one tomorrow that is actually, it's by far, I would say, my favorite gin. It is called Acadia, and it's made with blueberries, and it's just delightful.
It is so good. And that's the thing that I learned is, you know, not all gins have to have juniper in them. Some don't have any juniper at all, and some have very small amounts of juniper. And they use a lot of different things, like you mentioned, Acadia's blueberries, but some use like roses and floral tastes. And it really is. It's interesting the variety of palates you can get from it.
My favorite is when someone comes in and says, I hate all gin. And I accept that challenge because they always leave with the gin they not only like, but it's one that they want to take home. So I love that.
So this is going on tomorrow from 1 to 4 at Stevie's. And of course, anything that's being tasted will be 10% off if people want to take a bottle home.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, I will probably see you over there.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Tim.
All right. You have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
And again, the spring tasting is happening tomorrow from 1 to 4 at Stevie's Wine and Spirits, 115 Huddleston Avenue in Fairhaven. Come on by, hang out, have something you've never tried before, and you're going to find a new favorite, I promise. It always happens every time I go. I say, okay, I'm going to go try some things so I can learn, but I'm not going to bring anything home because I've got a ton of stuff already. And invariably, I come home with something that I wasn't expecting to bring home because it's all so good. And I want to be able to not only enjoy it, but share it with other people too. I'd love to bring stuff in for Gazelle and be like, Gazelle, wait till you try this. Wait till you try this. And he always loves it too. So we're asking the question, what was your first car, the make, model, and year of your first car? And Anthony says his first car was a 1987 Ford Ranger with no power steering. Well, I think that was a common problem for some of those Ford Rangers, honestly. Because I know somebody that had a Ford Ranger that had the same problem. Bill says 74 Chevy Impala two-door. Those old Chevy Impalas were awesome. I mean, the new ones are nice too, but they're more of like a almost like a luxury car compared to like the old Impalas that were just cool. But if you want to chime in with yours, 508-996-0500. You can also send app chats or open line voicemails on the WBSM app. You can also put it on our Facebook page as well. And that's what Trevor did. Trevor said his first car, a 1974 AMC Hornet. I like the AMCs. People give them a lot of grief, but they were definitely unique for their time. So I've got my list. Let me take a break. I got to take a break here. But we'll get into my list of all the cars. I thought it was 20. I think I'm at 19 plus two motorcycles, but I thought it was 20, so I might be missing one. It might dawn on me as we're going through the list. But, yeah, it's been a lot because I used to have a rule. If it cost more than $200 to fix it, I wasn't going to fix it. I was just going to get in my mom's car or my dad's car, drive down usually Route 28 from Wareham into Middleboro. Sometimes I might go Route 6. Like into Marion, and one time I found a K car in Marion that I had just bought my first car that I'd ever made payments on. So I had a nice new car, and I didn't need something else, but I saw this K car, and I was like, I just want it, but I didn't get it. And it was $800, and I could have bought it, and I didn't, and I regret it. Anyway, we'll go through the list. I got to take a break, though. We'll be right back. That's Fly Me Courageous by Driving and Crying, right? Although hopefully you're not crying if you're driving. Maybe you're crying remembering your first car. Hey, you know what? Get in the car and head on over to Brack's for lunch today because their lunch value menu starts at just $12.99 Monday through Friday, and they have three convenient locations for you, whether it be Brack's Grill and Tap in Taunton, Brack's Grill and Tap in Brockton, or the brand new Brack's Tavern in Middleborough. You can get their great lunch value menu starting at just $12.99 Monday through Friday. All kinds of